This week's parsha is Parshas Pinchas, and I would like to begin by asking two questions. We all know that Pinchas avenged the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he killed the Jewish prince and the Midianite woman, and ultimately, because of his act of kanois, he was zoche to the Brisi Shalom. As the Torah tells us, Heshives Hamasi mi'al b'nei Yisrael, because Pinchas turned back my wrath from upon b'nei Yisrael, b'kanois kinasi b'socham, when he zealously avenged my vengeance among them, and therefore, hineni nosein lo es brisi shalom, that I will give to him this covenant of shalom, of peace. V'haisa lo ulazaro acharav, and will be to him and to his descendants after him, bris kuhunas olam. He showed his allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed his allegiance to him. And the obvious question that one has to ask is, we find throughout the Torah that there are pivotal players that act in a way that is Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, his entire life, he acted L'Shem Shamayim. And yet we don't find anywhere in the Torah that he was given special recognition for acting selflessly on behalf of the Klal, and specifically on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't find anywhere that Aaron HaKohen, who was selfless in how he acted, he gave his life for the Klal, and obviously he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't find anywhere that he was given special recognition. Why is it that Pinchas is given special recognition, and specifically, he's recognized with the ability of being anointed as a Kohen? Why is it necessary? We don't find special recognition given to other pivotal members of Klal Yisrael. Why Pinchas specifically was he given this recognition of being a Kohen? And the second question that I want to ask is a little later on in the Psukim, in the Parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die eventually, and the point of picking a successor was being discussed. So the Torah tells us, Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem, and Moshe spoke to Hashem. And Rashi comments on the spot, Lahodia shvachan shel tzadikim, to acknowledge and to heap and to give praise upon the righteous, kishenifturin min ha'olam, when they are being removed from the world, when they're about to die, manichin tzarchan, they leave their own needs, ve'oskin b'tzarchi tzibor, and they deal or they delve into the needs of the community. And then in the next pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu outlines what he assumes would be necessary in a future leader to succeed Moshe. And he says it has to be a person that will take them in and will bring them out and will go before them and go after them. But in that Rashi of Yifkod Hashem, Rashi comes and tells us, Kivan sheshama Moshe, sheomer lo hamakom, tein nachlas tzlofcha libenosav. Since Moshe Rabbeinu had heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given a nachla, a Yerusha, an inheritance to the daughters of Tzlofchad, which was the parsha that preceded the parsha, the idea of talking about a successor for Moshe. Amar, Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, Higia Sha'a, the time has come, She'etavea Tzarchi, that I will now ask for my own needs, She'yirshu Bonai Eskedula Si, that my children will inherit my position as leader of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu saw in the psukim preceding this discussion about successor, saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had acquiesced, had agreed that the daughters of Tzlofchad were entitled to inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. And now, he thought, just like they were able to inherit their father, now it's time to ask for my own needs, and now I am going to ask that my children should be Yoresh, my position, they should inherit my position, I want to take care of my own. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kach also b'machshav lefanai. Actually, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what I was thinking. Kedaihu, it's worthwhile, Yehoshua litol schar shimusho, shalom mosh mitocha oel. Actually, it will be Yehoshua who will succeed you as the leader, the undisputed leader of Klal Yisrael. After all, he never left the tent. He was mishamish you from the time that he was born until the time that you died. And therefore, it's not going to be your children. But ask Reb Eli Baruch Finkel, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, a very interesting, profound, yet simple question. And that is, it seems as if the Rashi is being so serious, contradicting himself. On one hand, Rashi in Pasuk Aleph tells us that it's coming to give praise upon Tzaddikim that when they die, they leave their own needs and they engage in the needs of the Tzibor. But in the Pasuk right after, Rashi comments and says that since Moshe Rabbeinu heard that the daughters of Tzlofchad were able to inherit their father, now I'm going to ask for my own needs that my children should inherit me. That is a blatant contradiction. Was Moshe Rabbeinu engaged in the needs of others, or was he engaged in his own needs? Rashi is telling me that he's such a tzaddik, he's so righteous, he's so benevolent, so kind, so thoughtful, thinking about everyone else, even when he's about to die. And yet, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? First opportunity he has to try to get his children into positions of prominence, he comes and he immediately asks that his children should be the ones to inherit his position of leadership. What's going on? Which one was it? Was he for the klal? Was he giving to others? Or was he just focused on his own needs? Obviously, it's not a contradiction. In actuality, it's really talking about one of the same, and let me explain. The first Rashi that says, Lahodia shvachan shel tzaddikim, to give praise upon the righteous, that when they leave this world, they leave their own needs and they engage in the needs of the tzibor, that's giving a general rule. That's talking about something broad, something that's very general, not something specific. As Rashi says, Lahodia shvachan shel tzaddikim. It's not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's talking about a very general, broad idea that tzaddikim, when they're about to die, they engage in the needs of others and they leave their own needs aside. That's a general idea. And then the next Rashi is coming and speaking and focusing on something a little bit more specific to Moshe Rabbeinu. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was coming and asking for needs, he's not asking for his own needs, but rather he's asking for something a little bit more broad that would come and impact so many members of Klal Yisrael. Let me explain. We know that the Nevesh HaChaim writes something very fascinating. He says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it wasn't Titus or Nebuchadnezzar that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but rather it was our Averos, our sins, that ultimately caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he writes in Nevesh HaChaim Shar Aleph Perek Dalet, Ki halo Nebuchadnezzar v'titos lo asu b'maseyem shum pigam v'kilkul klal l'mayla. There is nothing that Nebuchadnezzar and Titus had done in their actions that created some type of pigam, deficiency, or destruction above. Ki lo lohem chelek v'shoresh ba'olamos v'olyonim. They don't have anything, any connection, any source to rise to the higher echelons of the world. Rak shebechatoenu nismait, but it was our sins that diminished. V'tash kaviyachol koach gvura shemayla. It diminished kaviyachol, the power of that which is happening in these celestial worlds. As Migdash Hashem Timu Kaviyachol HaMigdash HaElyon, Val Yedekach HaYalem Koach LeNebuchadnezzar. The Migdash Hashem, the higher worlds where the Beis HaMigdash was hovering, in the higher worlds, that became contaminated by our sins. Our sins in this world impacted that which had happened in the higher worlds. And it was because we sinned that ultimately brought about the destruction of the higher Beis HaMikdash, which allowed the lower Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed as well. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is that what we do in this world is ultimately what creates an impact and an effect in the higher worlds. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the daughters of Tzlofchad had come and asked for an inheritance in this world, they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, our father wasn't part of Korach's uprising. He was a very righteous person. He loved Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have any sons. And we, his five daughters, want to be Yoresh. We want to inherit his portion in Eretz Yisrael. And ultimately, Moshe Rabbeinu conferred, asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that they were entitled to that Yerusha. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that what happens in this world ultimately impacts and affects what happens in the higher worlds. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if these women, these young women, are able to inherit their father's portion, their father posthumously is able to give over to these girls that which he was deserving, that which he worked for. So maybe, just maybe, I, the father, am able to be mezakeh, I am able to give over the higher worlds, Olam Haba, to my children as well. Because what happens in this world dictates ultimately what happens in the higher worlds. And if this father, Tzlofchad, was able to be Yoresh to his children, was able to give to his children in this world, it must be that there's something going on in Shemayim that would mean that a father can be mizakeh, that a father is able, in the higher worlds, are able to give over a portion of his Olam Haba. Until finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, kach also b'machshav lefonai. The same way that you conferred and you asked me about the Benos Tzlofchad and I gave you my response, and indeed, they were entitled to be Yoresh, to inherit their father. This is a different situation. Kach also b'machshava lefanai. No. It's going to be Yehoshua. Because he's the one that worked. The way it works in the higher world is different than in this world when it comes to Yerusha. In this world, an inheritance, it's the father who is mezakeh, who gives over to his children. A father works hard. He accrues wealth. He has a lot of land and property. He has movable objects. When he dies, it's given over to his children. That is a father who is mezakeh his child. But in the higher worlds, it's something totally different. It's the ben that is mezakeh the av. It's the other way around. A father can't give to a child. It's the child that has to work. It was Yehoshua who worked, who was mishares in the ohel. It was Yehoshua who was there and took every word and was mishamish you and was stood dutifully by you to ensure that he got everything precisely the right way. He worked, he's entitled to that position. You can't get a father's inheritance in Olam Haba if you didn't work for it. Yehoshua worked, Yehoshua toiled. That's his. So unlike this world where a father can be mezakeh, can give over to a child, in the next world, like the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Dalet tells us, it's the ben that is mezakeh the father. In this world, it's the father that gives to the son. And in the next world, it's the son who gives to the father, not the other way around. But Moshe Rabbeinu was coming and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Beno Slavchad received for their father, and we know that this world dictates what's happening in the higher worlds, could I now give over to my child? And that's his question. Amar Higia Shah, my time has come. So the previous Rashi is telling us, Kishaniftarim in Olam, when a tzaddik is going to die from this world, any tzaddik. So they're engaged in the needs of others, and they're dealing with communal affairs. So now Moshe Rabbeinu says, Higia Shah, my time has come. I'm about to die. And now I want to know, is it possible for a father? Now he was asking really for the tzibor, but he can't ask for the tzibor. He can't ask for the community. Obviously, some other son is not, he's not going to give some other person's son. So he's saying the time has come, she'atoveya tzarchi, that now I'm going to ask, what would be if I would give over my Olam Haba? Could I give a portion of my Olam Haba to my son? Like the Gemara says, Shah, v'yish kono lamo b'shah achas, higia shah, the time has come where Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die. And he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it possible for a father to be mezakeh his ben in the higher worlds as well? Just as the daughters of Slavchad, their father was mezakeh them, gave over to them an inheritance. In this world, it should also perhaps be applicable in the higher world, to the next worlds as well. And obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I appreciate you asking that question. Kach also b'machshava lefonai. No, a person has to work. A person has to work and toil. La'adam la'amal yulad. He has to work and toil and shvitz. It can't be that a father does all the work and a father is going to toil, and then the son is going to get some of that inheritance in Olam Haba. It doesn't work like that. In Olam Hazeh, it does. But in Olam Haba, it's the person that works the hardest. And Yehoshua worked the hardest. Ultimately, he's the one who's going to be entitled to the Schar Nitzchi, the eternal reward. And this perhaps will give us insight. This will allow us to understand why it was that Pinchas was rewarded with the position of being a Kohen. We never find that the Torah gives a reward for doing that which you're supposed to do. In other words, he was supposed to honor God's Torah, God's mitzvos, God's Kedusha. Was Moshe Rabbeinu rewarded for doing that which was right? Was Aaron HaKohen honored and given this reward? But yet Pinchas was rewarded, and he was rewarded with the kahuna, when in theory he should have been zocha to that originally, because he was the son of the grandson of Aaron, and his father was Elazar HaKohen. So yes, I understand that the halacha was that it was only for the children that were born after, it was only Aaron and his son, and everyone else that was born after that. Pinchas was already born. So he wasn't entitled, but in theory, he really should have been. But it was only he was only given it after he killed this prince and this Midianite woman. Why was he given this? And I believe that he was given this because a Kohen is a very difficult idea to understand. A Kohen is balancing both worlds. It's balancing Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. On one hand, being a Kohen is something that's done in this world. But on the other hand, you're Misharis Hashem. You're serving God. You're dealing with matters that are higher, that are beyond this world. So there's this balance. We don't understand it. How do we understand, internalize this concept of a Kohen? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically waited to give Pinchas this reward because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that Olam Haba is not a given just because your father was a tzaddik and your grandfather was a tzaddik. So you have a Kohen that's in this world, but it's really something gavoa. It's in the higher worlds. They're the Misharis Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu was showing through Pinchas that Pinchas wasn't entitled to the next world. Pinchas wasn't entitled to be that Misharis Hashem just because his father and grandfather were Kohanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used Pinchas as an example that Olam Haba is not a given. You have to earn it yourself. He used Pinchas and the kahuna to bring about this idea that a father cannot be mizaka a son when it comes to the higher worlds. A son has to toil. He has to work. He has to do something that would allow him to deserve Olam Haba. Your father could be the biggest Gadol Hador. Doesn't mean anything for your Olam Haba. It might mean something for inheritance down here. If your father's a wealthy, rich man, you'll merit to inherit and to accrue great wealth. But when it comes to Olam Haba, you have to work. You have to toil. Kohen is that balance between this world and the next world. Kadosh Baruch Hu specifically left Pinchas out so that everyone should see that if you want Olam Haba, if you want that Gavoa, that higher world, even though a Kohen is a Yerusha, that Kohen in theory, it's something which is passed down from father to son. But for that one generation, Pinchas, it wasn't. As a simon, as a sign, that when it comes to things of the higher world, you have to earn it. You have to do something. It's not the Av Mizake, the Ben. It's the Ben having to take initiative, has to work, has to toil. He's in control of his own destiny. If he wants Olam Haba, he has to roll up his sleeves and work for it. As Elazar ben Dudaya was told in that famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah, he went and he asked and he inquired. He said, Holach v'yasha ben shnei harim u'gvos. Elazar went and sat between the mountains and the hills. And he said, Harim and Gvoz, Bikshu Olai Rachamim, please allow me to have a share in the world to come. And Amrul, they said to him, No, Nevak Ish Alatzmenu, we're fending for ourselves. Because they understood that when it comes to the higher worlds, every person has to fend for themselves. Every person, if he wants to have the Olam HaEmes, it's not like the daughters of Tzlofchad. And then he went weiter, and he went to the Shemayim Va'aretz, Bikshu Olai Rachamim, come, be Mizakami, let me be Yoresh, let me have a share in the world to come. They said, Nevakesh al Atzmenu, we're asking for ourselves. We can't help you out. Until finally he realized, Ein hadaber toloi ella bi. He understood and he realized that the matter depends solely upon me. And it was at that point, Yatzasa bas kol va'amra, Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya is mezuman l'chaye ha'olam haba. He's deserving of a share in the world to come. When a person recognizes and appreciates that the next world is very different than this world, this world, we could inherit. The next world, it's totally be. The har, the gavos, the shemayim, the aretz, the kochavim, the mozolos, they can't ask on my behalf. And that was the question, that was the very same question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking for all fathers out there in the world. But obviously, Befrat, I can only ask for my son, and perhaps this will help all the other fathers in the world. Can they give their Olam Haba to their child? Can they help their child in Olam Haba? Can they give some of those mitzvos and some of that learning? And the answer is no. They have to work for it. So a father is mezake his ben. A father gives to his child in this world. But in the next world, it's the ben, it's the son that can give to his father. It's the other way around, the ben mezake aviv. So we had what we thought was a contradiction, a stira, lahodia shvachan, in a very general way, to give praise to tzaddikim that when they die from this world, they leave their own needs and they deal with communal needs. And how did that manifest itself with Moshe Rabbeinu? When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the daughters of Tzlofchad were zoche, merited to have a Yerusha in this world, he understood, Moshe Rabbeinu understood the dynamics that what happens in this world ultimately manifests itself what happens in the higher worlds. And he said, so maybe my children and every other person that has a son, maybe they could help out their child and give them some of their Olam Haba. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kal Ka'altza B'machshav Lefanai, that it always goes to the person that works. If you don't work for your Olam Haba, ultimately, you'll never be deserving of it.